It's good to be here with our sister, cousin, brother, church, however you want to put it. It's always good to be with fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord, and I thank you. It's an honor to be here this morning. I feel like I've got like five Monster energy drinks in me right now, but it's not. It's just who I am, so... Joey, I think I have a half hour, the clock's ticking, so I will be good. But inside of me, I'm just bursting at the seams. So I have like 3 hours of material, and I got to squish it down into a half hour. So once we're done, we're done. But that is my introduction. So my name is Nathaniel Melton. My lovely wife, Christy, is with me today. We have five boys, Jacob, Joseph, Josiah, Joshua, and James. They are not here this morning. They're to the five winds, but it's good. A little bit about myself. I started out 13 years as a missionary with Youth with a Mission, traveled the world, had many adventures, probably could have wrote a book before I was 27 years old. And then I moved from missions into working with a faith-based boys' home and did that for almost 9 years in treatment foster care. And then about 6.5 years ago, we moved to Spooner back home where I grew up. And I work in a program that's through a grant or money through Department of Corrections. So I teach classes in two prisons and one county jail. And once the individuals complete my class, I work with them in making those transitions in the community in 10 counties in northwest Wisconsin. So I'm on the road a lot. And so cities are okay, Joey. Cities are okay. Cities are okay. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, oh God, that you would just be here. I know you're here this morning. I just pray, oh God, that you would order these words in a way, Lord, that are yours and not mine. More of you, less of me. God, I just pray for that, God, you would just anoint this time and that you would bring about the things that need to be said. And that, God, we would take that and we would run with it. And that, God, you would transform us and change us to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was considering what to share... I was going through and I'm like, Joey, what about this? He goes, I preached about that the other week. And so we were going back and forth, and I was like, all right, I don't want to preach the very same thing that somebody's already preached. So I had an interesting circumstance happen, and I knew that was what I needed to speak on. So have you ever met anybody who was like bulletproof? They're just always just solid. You go talk to them, it's like they're always doing fine. They're always good. Anybody have any of those in your life? Am I the only? Okay, maybe I'm the only one, and that's okay. I'm from Wisconsin and a Packer fan, so All right, time to go. Well, I have one of those, and a pastor friend of mine, and I had something I wanted to talk to him about, and as I was talking to him about it through the circumstances, he said, you know, I even got to the point where I was wondering if I should even pastor, and I thought it rocked me a little bit because this person always seems rock solid, and then it hit me, and it's like, nobody's like that. We need encouragement. We are wore down. We have things that happen in life, and it made me cognizant of the fact that we need to be encouraged. And we need to encourage. I was wrapped up in my issue and the thing that I was dealing with, and I didn't even notice, wasn't even looking that this person was wearing down because of whatever. And I don't know about you, but this morning I'm going to talk about encouragement, joy, and the power of the spoken word. So I hope that this is a timely word, because I feel like in our culture, in our day and age, we're like a desert. We're so busy, and we have life stuff, and we have health stuff, and we have our neighbor stuff, and we have things that happen. And before we know it, we're like a desert. We're wore out and dry. Anybody ever know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And so when somebody comes along, or you're reading the Word of God, and a word comes at the right time, at the right place, it's water to the soul. It is healing to the soul. It is uplifting to the soul. It's transformational. In fact, the Bible talks about that in Proverbs. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. That's Proverbs 16:24. And so I began to ponder about coming this morning and sharing about encouragement. And once you know it, I've had a week of craziness. It's like the gates of hell just went crazy. And I'm like, oh my word, what's going on? And I got to tell you, this message is just as much for me as it may be for some of you, in that I need to learn how to encourage. I need to learn how to speak words of life into people, of affirmation into people. Because here's how it is for me. I get home, had a long day of work or work second job. I come home, and I don't know if anybody's like me, but I come home and I notice everything that's out of place. I notice everything that's wrong. I notice, I ask my wife, why is the door open? It's 80 degrees and the AC is going on and I'm paying for that. And son, why didn't you take out the garbage? And I'm not trying to tear people down. I just notice all these things. But what happens is I'm not speaking life into my family. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's not what we're called to do. And so it seems like the Lord really magnified a lot of situations. So I come definitely not a master at encouraging, and a lot of room to grow. But encouragement. Encouragement comes in the way of a timely word. Encouragement comes by a gesture at the right time. In fact, I want to just share a story. The first African-American to play Major League Baseball was a man by the name of Jackie Robinson. Incredible ball player. While trying to break through baseball's color barrier, he faced insults and abuse in just about every stadium. One day at his home stadium in Brooklyn, he made an error and the fans immediately turned on him. While they jeered, Robinson just stood there at second base, humiliated. At that point, the right time, at that point, somebody stepped in, and it was a shortstop. It was Pee Wee. Pee Wee Reese ran over, stood behind him, put his arms around him, and together they faced the crowd. Within seconds, the fans grew quiet. Years later, when Robinson was elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame, he said, "Reese's arm around my shoulder that day saved my career." I don't know a successful person that has went through life without somebody speaking into their life a timely word, a timely affirmation, calling out something in somebody that was a powerful, positive word. And over this last week, as I've been just pursuing this topic, I've heard many stories about that one word at that one time, and that as a kid or as an adult, they grabbed a hold of it and they went through hell and high water, but it was that one word, that nugget of truth that kept them going through life's adversity. God's word is full of encouragement. God is the master of encouragement. From Joshua, he said, "Be bold and courageous. I'm going to give you victory." And he says it over and over again. It's like, wow. And it goes on about God. He repeats it over and over. Why? Because we get stuck on ourselves and on life situations and get hyper-focused and we don't see the big picture. It is throughout millennia our weakness as human beings, but God over and over in His Word talks about encouragement. Let me read a few scriptures that He says. First Thessalonians 5:11, "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you're doing. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, and not to neglect meeting together as in the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." These are the words that the Lord tells us, encourage one another. And that's why just on Sundays isn't enough for us as humans, because real life happens when we leave these doors and we go back home and I get home from work on Monday after a long day and see the door open and it's 85 and it's humid and the AC is gone and all I can see is dollar signs going ting, 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 ting. But taking a moment and speaking life into my wife or speaking life into my children. Now the opposite is true. The opposite is true. A wrong word spoken at the wrong time or the right time can impact a person's life forever. And what happens is we can believe those lies. There are many people I've seen in my journeys where they believed the lie that they were told when they were young. You're stupid. You're so dumb. And their whole life, they held onto that one word saying how dumb they were, how ugly they were, how unintelligent they were. And they held on to that and didn't let it go. And that's who they thought they were. My grandfather, he didn't finish school. At the end of third grade or fourth grade, he said, once he could do his math and his English, he was home on the farm behind a mule or a horse and a plow. Now, if you've ever seen it, I don't know how he did it, but that's what he had to do. And my grandfather's whole life, he felt like he was inadequate, that he was dumb. He could build a house from scratch, do the whole thing. He did it. He could rebuild a tractor engine and redo the whole. He could take care of animals. He could grow crops and reap a harvest. And yet he held on because he never finished school that he was dumb or that he was not smart. See, Satan comes to what? Steal, kill, and
destroy.
And I don't know if anybody has those kinds of words that you've had as a youngster or young, that you're going to be a loser or you're this or that, and you've held on and it's hurt and you're holding on to it. I just want to tell you this morning that God wants to set you free from any of those kinds of words. Those are from the enemy. Those words don't belong in our lives because God came to set us free and he gave us a new word. He is the living water. He is the bread of life. He is limitless. His power is unbelievable. And with one word, he said, let it be light. And it was. Those first 7 days or 6 days of creation, he was spoken word, and it was. That is the power of our God. And if any of those words, we need to recognize what those words are and say, no, that is a lie. I do not accept that lie. I accept what the Lord has for me, and I'm a living son or daughter of the Most High God, and he set me free. In fact, he says he adopts us, and we have sonship and daughtership, and so much so that we are heirs to the kingdom of our God, who is King of kings and Lord of lords. And one day, those who believe in him will live forever and ever in heaven. Is that not awesome? That is awesome. And so the spoken word, what I want to encourage us is how, when we leave these doors, what are we going to do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? Are we going to hold up like we're bulletproof, like everything's going? How you doing? I'm doing fine. Thanks, you. Have a great day. Or are we going to be vulnerable? Are we going to be open? Are we going to be honest? Are we going to say, you know what? I've had a rough day, and I just don't know. I just don't know. We don't always have to have answers. And yet, in our culture, aren't we expected to always have answers? I'm doing good. I'm great. No, I'm actually not doing that great. We're expected in a culture to always have answers. And guess what? We don't need them because Jesus has them and we can rely on him. The power of the body of Christ is unbelievable. That's why in 1 Thessalonians 5:11 and Hebrews 10:20, he says, encourage one another daily. There's another verse that says, exhort one another as long as it's called today. Well, that means Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and I'm out of gas. And that means Saturday, all right, and we're back on Sunday. Every day, exhorting one another. That's why men's groups and women's groups and small groups. And that's why meeting together and calling and texting and messaging and saying, how's it going? We have so many options to encourage one another. And here's the deal. I remember when I was going to start to try to learn how to encourage, and it seemed so awkward to me. Because sometimes when you do something you're not used to doing, it's awkward. So I remember, I'm really good at exhorting and encouraging the guys in the prison. Because encouragement is not really there. And so I'm encouraging and encouraging and encouraging. I've learned to encourage, but it doesn't come natural for me. So it might seem weird when you go to try to step out and encourage somebody. Hey, nice shirt. I see that you're wearing a Viking shirt. That's really cool. That might be a little awkward. The fact of the matter is God calls us to step outside of ourselves and step into what he has called us to be, his son and daughters, sons and daughters. Amen?
Amen.
And so I don't want to just share a message this morning and then we leave the same way, because you look out there and there's a society and even in the church where people are hungry to be affirmed, to be spoken life to. And guess what? As a body of Christ, we got it. The world is looking for something that is real, and we got it. And we got it without limits. Without limits. So what I would encourage you is, how are we going to encourage tomorrow, today? How are we going to pray that God would speak to me so that I could give a right word at the right time, and that seed would blossom and grow and produce something? There's a story, many stories of where people coming from the projects or from wherever, and that right word at the right time, they called them out. I heard a story, and it was this boy. He was really anxious, and he just had a lot of energy. A lot of energy. And his parents came in because he must have did something wrong. But he sat outside the classroom. They didn't know he could hear. But the teacher said something that he heard, and he didn't let it go. He's like, he's going to be all right. He's a smart boy. It was the right word at the right time. And that man later went into the military and did quite well. I know in my life, there are times where people spoke the right word at the right time that got me through some pretty tough times. I remember being at a conference. And as a young man, my mind went shut off. My mind was just it would just be relentless and would just go and go. And it was like, all this pressure. I'm praying and I'm like, whatever. And this lady who I'd never even met before, don't know, came up to me and said, I just want you to know, the Lord wants you to know, your mind is like a pressure cooker. And I'm like, how did you know? See, God knows. He's not limited, right? And she had my ear now. And she said, the Lord wants you to know that he's going to release the pressure. And you know what the Lord did? He released the pressure. I have a son now who's just like that. His mind goes and goes and goes. But right now I'm praying for him to come into the kingdom, because he is using something else to self-medicate that kind of thing that's going on for him. And the world does that. Guess what? The only medication with my mind right now that I need is Jesus. Because he's solid. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And when he speaks the word, it happens. So today, let's accept what Christ has for us and what the Word says. We are his sons and daughters, forgiven, set free. Why? Because he went to the cross and paid the ultimate price by sending his son, who died, who paid blood, the ultimate sacrifice. But didn't stop there. He conquered death and hell, and he rose again. And he was able to call me and change me and still changing me and still changing me every day. And I want him to continue to change me till that day that he calls me and I get to go to heaven. That power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that the Lord says that we have to work inside of us. So, my brothers and sisters, it's not just for me to stay focused on just me, though. However, I need to now lean into the Lord and say, how can I speak life into my brother or my sister or a stranger? Because I tell you what, it is life. At the right time, at the right place, it will produce fruit. I give an illustration with my guys in the prison. I talked to them about everything from A to Z. So we talk about money. And I said, well, money is like a seed. If you invest it and you plant it, do you get to go and get corn the next day? Oh, no, you got to. So we go through, you got to prepare the soil. You got to have everything there. You plant the seed. And I said, oh, then you're good. Wait till fall. No. You got to water it and you got to pull the weeds. And I ask them these questions because I want interaction. I said, but in the fall, if you did everything right, you reap a harvest. A good word, a solid life word produce a harvest. Now, some of those seeds are going to be like a garden seed. In the fall, you will produce a crop and you'll be able to take it. And some of them are like apple seeds. I realize I get guys that come out of prison because I only work with medium to high risk of individuals of reoffending. They've done everything. I've worked with guys who've done everything. I don't even like reading what they've done. I just want to treat them as human beings. And as long as they're wanting to change, they pay the price, their debt to society, that's how I treat it. And whatever they do from there, I gauge what's going on and hopefully have discernment. But some seeds are like an apple seed. An apple seed, you plant, but you don't reap a harvest in the fall. In fact, a lot of times an apple tree, you don't really reap a harvest until, 3, 4, 5 years when it gets solid. I have an apple tree, and I don't think it's 5 years. It's in our yard, and it had apples this year. And the branches were like, it's small. And the branches were like, woo. And I'm like, oh my goodness. I started pulling them off. I'm like, I want this tree to last a while. But some seeds of speaking into people's lives are like an apple seed. It may not come to harvest until years down the road. But when it does, that one apple seed will produce seeds beyond imagination. They're not countable. We can all count seeds in one apple, but can you count the seeds that one seed may produce in a tree? I don't think so. So this morning the word is, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, healing to the bones. And we are the ones who are plugged in to God Almighty. We have a source that knows, just like that lady. She didn't know me. She knew Jesus, the same Jesus I knew, was given a word, was obedient. It gave me hope. It gave me another day. It gave me like, oh Lord, I got you. You know me. You know me. I'm going to make it. After church today and after later this afternoon on my way back to Wisconsin, I'm going to visit a friend. He was a mentor to me in YWAM, Youth with a Mission. Helped me through some difficult times and always was speaking life into me. And now it's my turn to speak life into him. A year or 2 years ago, his son took his own life. And him and his wife have yet, especially his wife, has yet to recover. But you know what? I can go there and speak life and love and grace. In my awkwardness, as I grow to try to learn to be a better encourager, guess what? God blesses the effort. And he will do with what he needs to do with it because he's bigger than myself. And guess what? He's bigger than yourselves. It's the act of obedience. It's the act of planting the seed and saying, Jesus, you do with that seed what you want. Because at the end of the day, can we save anybody? I might be able to save somebody from drowning, but can I save anybody? Nope. Only Jesus saves. Only Jesus says. That must be about my time. Encourage means give support, confidence, or hope to someone. Give support and advice to someone so that they will continue to do something, to continue to run the race. The word says, run the race so as to win. Tom Kelby, he runs one of those ultimate marathons. You ever see marathons? There are always people encouraging. You got it. You got it. Guess what? The church today, we need to do that. You got it. You can make it. Make it to the end. I know the enemy's coming in like a flood, but do you know Jesus will get you through? That's what the church needs to do. And like somebody said this morning, let the joy of the Lord be our strength. Do you know what happens when you start talking to people that are... You start telling stories about when Jesus saved you. Somebody shared about when Jesus saved them. The baptism. We had a baptism last week too. It was phenomenal, the testimonies. I just cried like a baby through the whole service because it was awesome. Because it was God changing hearts. That's why I love the scripture. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And the word continually, encourage one another, stir one another up. As a body here, press on. The Lord wants to do things here in this church. He is doing things in this church. Don't get so hyper-focused that you don't look at all the things that God's doing. There are seeds you're planting that He will harvest. There are things that are going on. There's apple seeds and garden seeds, and there's all kinds of seeds. God is the one in charge of the harvest. So that's my word for us today is reject the words that were planted that were from the enemy. Recognize them. Recognize them in your speech. Recognize them when you're talking to your kids. Recognize them when you hear your kids talking. Because they get damaged and wounded so easily in school and whatever in society. And when you hear it, say, no, you know what? That's from the enemy. The Lord says you are His child. In fact, you know what? You're a miracle. Do you know what happened when you were younger? And tell them a story about God's goodness. And call forth the word that is in them. And speak it in faith. And guess what? See what God does. And recognize at work or at home. Man, you're so... Because we get mad at each other. Maybe not you guys, but once in a while I get... Not once in a while. Maybe a lot. I get upset. And I've said things that I regret. Now, I've grown and matured in my walk in the Lord, but there's things that I'm not proud of. I said things that were not of God. Planted bad seeds. And I'm working on undoing bad seeds and planting good seeds and loving on my boys. But recognize those seeds and say, no way. God has called me. And go to the Word and just speak it out loud. And you won't know unless you dive into the Word. The Word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to go down and divide deep inside and do what nothing else can do because it's living. And reject the enemy's words that he said on you. Reject them and say, no way. Jesus, I believe what you've called me to be. I'm your daughter. I'm your son. You know what? You've made me a... You made this unique person. I know God's made me. I'm a unique individual. There's no other person like me in the world. Good thing, because it would be bad. And I'm thankful for the things that God has done in me. And I'm thankful for the things that God is doing in this church. And in you. So let us strive. Let's strive in doing the work of the Lord by stirring each other up in love, in the things of the Word of God, and remind each other why God is good. Why are we following Him? Well, I can tell you why I'm following Him, because He's real. And I have no doubt, because I've seen the hand of God move in ways that were only God. And you know, I'm so happy that God would even save a guy like me and all my mistakes, all my failures, all words and frustrations and things that I'm not the best at, and still loves me and still working on me to be all that He wants me to be. Heavenly Father, we're grateful and thankful for Your Word. And we're grateful that God, You do call us. You redeemed us. You sanctified us. You washed us clean. You washed us all the filth away from us. All those things that we've done, all those things that we said, all those things that were said to us and experiences, God, You wash it away. And You bring upon Your calling, Your Word, Your love, Your anointing, Your Holy Spirit to dwell in us. What an awesome thing, oh God. And I pray, oh God, that You would stir us up in love and grace and kindness and words of affirmation, speaking life words, planting seeds, Your seeds, oh God, and that we'd be a light to each other and a light unto the world. So that God, those who don't know You, those who are hurting, those who are lost, would come to know You and be redeemed. We thank You, God. Help us to make it to the end, not struggling, not crawling to the finish line, but running. Help us to live this life victoriously and full and run to the end of the line, oh God, I pray. Bless this church. Bless these people. Bless us, oh God, so that we would do Your works and do them well. In Jesus' name, amen. Blessings, church. Thank you for having me. God.